now you'll join me in the responsive hymn reading found on page 744 and 745 in the hymnal, Psalms 9. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion, among the people God sees. The Lord who avenges blood is mindful of them and does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me. You are the one who lifts me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your blessings, and in the gates of the daughter of Zion, rejoice in your delights. The nations have sunk in the pit which they made. Their own foot has been caught in the net which they hid. The Lord is made known. The Lord has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the works of their own hands. The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not mortals prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are mortal.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible is a long one. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1a, 4 through 11, 19 through 23, 32 through 49. And all of that begins on page 248 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible. So hear what may be a familiar story. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and he put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, and with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from this Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. It can be found on page 171 of your New Testament Pew Bible. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to perhaps another familiar story, this one from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 41. If you pull out your Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 36 in the New Testament, or in the Bible you brought, you probably know where that is. So let's turn to these stories of Jesus. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boats so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. These lessons from 1 Samuel, that long one, and from the book of Mark, are wonderful stories that speak to people of all ages and all cultures. Many of us, as we found out at the beginning, many of us have heard these stories in our Sunday school classes. But it is probably equally true that if you were to go onto the street and ask people, anybody you met, if you asked them about these stories, that nearly everyone has heard the story of David and Goliath and the story of Jesus calming the sea and the storm. In fact, the story of David and Goliath has even become part of our vernacular. We talk about meeting your Goliath. But when a Christian considers these stories, he or she is probably confronted with an important question. How strong is my faith in God? How real is my faith in the face of peril? Let me highlight a few of these details from these stories as you think about them and as you consider your own faith. My guess is that every one of us has felt like David going up against our very own Goliath at one time or another in our life. Is that true for you? Have you gone up against Goliath? Well, it's kind of ironic to consider the reaction of Saul and all the army of Israel as they stood looking out across the valley at the army of the Philistines. Goliath steps up out of the ranks with all his armor, and he boldly challenged one man to fight him in order to determine the outcome of the entire national battle. Scripture tells us this: when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. But that's crazy. If Saul had stopped long enough to think about the history of the other leaders of God's chosen people, he would surely have remembered that when God's presence was requested, the armies of Israel always prevailed. Saul never asked for God's help. Saul never acknowledged God's presence. Well, you remember from last week, we talked about David being selected by, first of all, his father, Jesse, and then ultimately by God. Well, Jesse wanted to get supplies to his older sons who were there at the battlefield. So he commanded his youngest son, David, to hightail it over to take the food and to see how his brothers were doing. Ever the obedient son, David showed up on the battle line. And David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with him." But Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy. And this guy has been a warrior from his youth." So then, David calmly explained his shepherding experience of fighting off lions and bears. David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." David understood the source of his power, and so now did Saul. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And you know who won. God won. And despite all the dire circumstances, David had great faith in the face of peril. How would you have done in that situation? How strong would your faith be? If you have ever been in a small boat in open water in the darkness of night, and you can probably empathize with the situation that confronted the disciples in that story from Mark. The sea or deep water represented utter chaos and absolute mystery to the people of biblical times. When the wind kicked up and the waves crashed into their tiny boat and the water sloshed around their shins, these followers of Jesus were understandably terrified, surely in fear for their very lives. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus caused that horrific storm to subside, but he and his followers were still afloat in utter chaos and absolute mystery. The difference now was that the disciples had asked for Jesus' help. How would you have done in that situation? How strong would your faith be? Most of us in our 21st century world will not face a literal Goliath or an actual windstorm that threatens to capsize our life's boat. Surely, though, each of us will face situations that are difficult, some circumstances that threaten our very lives or the lives of those we love. Each of us will surely have our faith tested in the face of peril. Your Goliath may well be cancer, or an auto accident, or an untimely death. Your windstorm may well be marital infidelity, or divorce, or domestic violence, or alcoholism, or drug abuse, or the loss of a job, or economic ruin. That peril, may be acute, a single event that leaves you reeling in pain and confusion, or that peril may be chronic, the long cumulative effects of a situation left unresolved, a wrong never fully righted, a dysfunctional relationship that you never worked through, an offense against you that you were not able to forgive and then forget. Each of us have had and certainly will continue to have our faith tested in the face of such peril. Will you make Saul's mistake, or will you call upon the name of God like David did as he faced off with Goliath? To whom will you turn when the boat gets rocked on the waves and the winds are howling? My sisters and brothers, it's easy to have faith in Jesus Christ when things are going along well in our lives. These two stories that we've concentrated on today both have a happy ending. The Bible doesn't tell us stories where people of strong faith are defeated despite that faith. But that's surely the way life goes sometimes. Think about the fates of most of the apostles in Acts. Think about the fate of people like Joan of Arc, or the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or Reverend Oscar Romero, or any of a long line of martyrs throughout time who died because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Even when you have strong faith in Jesus, you will still find yourself afloat in utter chaos and the absolute mystery of human life. The difference will be that Jesus will always be there with you in that swamped boat, no matter what. Because Jesus loves you no matter what. In the short term, in human time, life is not fair. Babies die of malnutrition and preventable diseases. People are defeated by poverty and homelessness. Wars go on seemingly without end. And humankind continues to poison the air and water and soil of Mother Earth. In the long run, however, in kingdom time, Jesus will come back to us. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God will win. I want you to listen closely. Maybe you can hear Jesus whispering in your ear, "Why are you still afraid? Have you still no faith? How strong is my faith in God? How real is my faith in the face of peril?" The psalmist had it absolutely right. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Amen.